snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, June 5th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. Wild ride it is. And it seemed like it was really wild yesterday, didn't it? As a result of the lightning storms that plagued the country, there were some issues in the area of the network, and the network was affected as well. So it was interesting, though, because we were trying to do yesterday's show, but it wasn't possible because of what had taken place because of the storm. And speaking of the storm, I guest hosted the National Intel Report yesterday. John Stadmiller is out on a much-needed, much-deserved vacation this week. And so speaking of that, the National Intel Report will be guest-hosted by Michael Rivero today, which should be interesting. Dr. Jennifer Daniels tomorrow, which should be great too. Possibly yours truly on Thursday, and then Rick Adams on Friday, which would be good as well. But which broadcast was it? Which hour, I should say. I included links to, it was hour one yesterday of the National Intel Report. I included over 24 links to wildfires that were caused by lightning last year. And I included a link. I mentioned, you know, and if you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time, you know that I mentioned those fires last year. Over 1,000 of the wildfires in last year's wildfire season were caused by lightning. Over 1,000, the vast majority were caused by lightning. And so I talked last year about Tesla, Master of Lightning, the documentary. I mean, the title of the PBS documentary is Tesla, Master of Lightning. And so that should be a clue for some people that don't know, I guess. Folks that listen to this network know, and I won't belabor that, but I included, you know, I think 27 in total, something like that. Fires from the IncyWeb site, inciweb.nwcg.gov, the government's own data, according to the government, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres, millions actually, burned, caused by lightning. And so that's interesting, I think, especially when a lot of those fires were started on clear days. How does that happen? And, you know, it's interesting how quickly the naive and uninformed want to try to explain things like that away. The folks that don't have any clue what they're talking about. How do you suppose that happened? When do you see lightning? Do you, you know, have you seen 1,000 instances of lightning in 1 year or in one, you know, summer on completely clear days or nights? Nope. Usually there's rain somewhere around, whether it's before, during, or after. You usually see them together. You don't see 1,000 instances of lightning in one summer, for example, without rain. That's weird. You know, occasionally, but, you know, that's a lot. 1,000 times? Come on. So I talked about the Eagle Creek fire and how I mentioned last year that it had switched, and I included a link to the IncyWeb entry for the Eagle Creek fire, which is officially back now listed as human caused, which you would expect because what's his name, the young man who lit the fireworks that now resulted in the trial that has him expected to pay $37 million in damages, obviously corresponds, you know, to that information. So, but last year, when I talked about this fire, the IncyWeb listing, the government's own listing, listed the cause as uncertain. So that was interesting. First it was human, then it was uncertain. I talked about how strange that was, since everybody was saying, well, you know, and then the problem was that was the, you know, he was the poster child for all of the fires. Anyway, it's a new year. I hope it's not a record year for anything. I've talked about how it's already a, you know, the flood season is coming, and you can see on the IncyWeb map there are some floods and some, most of the fires right now are prescribed burns, which is also sometimes a weird concept. Just ask the Hammonds. But I won't include links to those fires in the archives. If you want to see what I'm talking about, go to yesterday's National Intel Report, Hour 1, and you can see just a short list of the fires. According to the government, they're, you know, 2017 fire season caused by lightning. And, you know, again, that's just a small cross-section of them across multiple states. Montana, I think there's Montana, Wyoming, Nevada, California, and maybe one or two others represented in that cross section. So anyway, Tesla, master of lightning, you know, you don't see lightning 1,000 times in 3 months without rain. It just doesn't happen. So things are weird. Anyway, the network was affected, and yesterday, because of the lightning storm, it was interesting. You know, I got lots of messages. People were asking, what's going on? What's going on? And I'm sure, you know, the network was inundated at some point. But, you know, I mean, we've talked about it. I think it's a good illustration of the fact that we need to, you know, I mean, you hear it often, obviously, but your support for RBN is imperative and instrumental, so it's good. I mean, you won't hear things that you hear on this network anywhere else. Some of the things, I mean, I talk about stuff all the time. I remember years ago when I'd listen to Alan Watt on a regular basis, among others, you know, he talked about the same, it was the same storyline. It was the same plot line every day. And yet, you know, every broadcast was different. And hopefully, this broadcast doesn't sound too repetitive, but I think there are some things that we can't hear often enough. So Brian Kilmeade just wrote a book about Andrew Jackson. He's written some other books where he doesn't really tell the whole truth, and therefore he doesn't tell the truth at all. But Brian Kilmeade just wrote his book about Andrew Jackson. I wonder if he included some of the most provocative excerpts from Andrew Jackson's farewell address. For example, the one that I included in the National Intel Report, the first quote, "The Severe Lessons of History," which I mentioned during yesterday's National Intel Report. "The severe lessons of experience will, I doubt not, be sufficient to prevent Congress from again chartering such a monopoly, even if the Constitution did not present an insuperable objection to it. But you must remember, my fellow citizens, that eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty, and that you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing. It behooves you, therefore, to be watchful in your states as well as in the federal government." And so the context of that remark is what we now call the Federal Reserve, the monopoly on this specious currency. And so knowing, the more you start reading about Andrew Jackson, you understand that this is an issue, especially in his presidency. It's inescapable. You can't talk about Andrew Jackson without bumping into this issue and having this conversation. You can't. Somehow Brian Kilmeade managed to do that. And so that's, I think, telling. So that's kind of the point. You know, you hear a lot of things in a lot of places. We know that most of what goes out in mass is propaganda, and at the very least, controlled opposition. But you hear, people's unvarnished accounts of things on this network, and not perfect, I would say, but you know, what is and who is. So anyway, it's important, and it was interesting yesterday to see a number of people, you know, get excited. I mean, what happened? What happened to the network? Is everything okay? Because, you know, even the live streams weren't running, and so people were concerned, and rightfully so. Because, you know, as they say, Republic Broadcasting Network cuts a pretty wide swath, you know. Perhaps not as big as some, but it's deceptively big, if you will. You know, people don't realize how important the message is here, and how many people have come and gone through the RBN swath. A lot of prominent folks. So I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, there's a lot going on, and holy cow, it just never changes. And, you know, the bottom line is, again, I mean, speaking of being redundant, we are complacent in our greed and our apathy to a certain extent. You know, the observation every once in a while comes up. Every job you you apply for, just think about the way the society is being wired and rewired. What was the story that I saw? Yesterday, I think. The California city that's experimenting with, they call it a guaranteed income. No, that's a UBI, guys. And you should watch some of the True Stream Media videos on that, because it's a bad thing. Don't do it. Let's see if we can find that real fast. You know, just gets stranger every day and we forget. But the bottom line is, you know, again, and I mentioned I mentioned both of these things yesterday on the National Intel Report when I guest hosted. It's important. We need to, you know, the important lessons of history. I think it was hour two that I mentioned this, but that's hour one. Strange things not working the way they're supposed to. Okay, maybe that did it. What? So on the second hour, the links in the archives for the National Intel Report yesterday include that little series I mentioned before. I think it's a great jumping off point, Making the Revolution from America in Class, which is kind of fun, americainclass.org. And Making the Revolution, America, 1763 to 1791, very interesting. And so this section, Crisis, Section 1, Crisis, 1763 to 1775, includes number 9, How Did We Get Here? Which includes, that's Section 9, How Did We Get Here? Includes Benjamin Franklin's Rules by Which a Great Empire May Be Reduced to a Small One, his essay in 1773. Francis Hopkinson's A Pretty Story Within the Year of Our Lord, 2774, The Allegory in 1774. And, of course, John Adams' Letter to Hezekiah Niles, a selection on the American Revolution, his letter in 1818. And so, you know, all of that, I think, is great stuff. It's it's essential reading, essential history. And then that excerpt and among other things. So, but, you know, things will continue unless we realize, like John Adams put it, this radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't.
Welcome back. So, we need to just move on. And, yeah. So, yeah. The Reuters story is the one that I was thinking of. California city fights poverty with guaranteed income. Oh, UBI. That's out of the frying pan into the fire. That's worse, actually. Studies have repeatedly proven over the years that this idea will make things worse. And so you see, it's always this kind of setup. You know, they've said for years. I remember when I was in high school, when I was freshman, sophomore in high school, the teacher that was teaching one of those awful classes that you shouldn't have in school. Something human studies kind of thing, you know, all of the inappropriate things that teachers shouldn't be teaching, sort of wrapped up in one class. Anyway, this teacher said, you know, I'm from the California area, I think the Bay Area, and California is like 20 years, 10 to 20 years ahead of the rest of the country in weird, in terms of weird. And so, you know, you wait 10 years, 20 years, depending on where you are, the rest of the country will catch up. And it's true. I mean, I've spent some time down there, and period of years, the longest was 6 years, because I heard that if you're in California for 7 years or more, you're there forever. So I had to hurry up and get out. But this is, you know, it's just another petri dish, another incubator for this sort of thing. And so, you know, California has recently said, we're doing great. Look how great we're doing. And the rest of the country should be like us. What was the article that I mentioned? Oh, man. Can't think of it, but, and you know, this again is the problem with planning. People say, what's the problem with socialism? Who doesn't want free healthcare? That's the argument they always use, that kind of a thing. Who doesn't want free stuff? But you know, it's the planning that's always the problem, as Friedrich Hayek points out in The Road to Serfdom, among others. You know, it's the planning. And then that starts to get, you know, it turns into the hard power, soft power, smart power discussion that Hillary Clinton loves so much. You know, if we can't just force it on you, if we can't force this boot down your throat with hard power, maybe we'll try to coerce you with soft power propaganda and manipulation, or we'll try to marry the two, and you know, we'll kind of hold the barrel of the gun back here while we manipulate you and coerce you, and we'll call it smart power. You know, that's basically the modus operandi of the planners. It comes down to that, because like Hayek pointed out in The Road to Serfdom, you can plan all you want. The devil is in the execution, because, you know, not everyone agrees. And so that's, you know, again, back to chapter 10 of Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Why the Worst Get on Top. Someone plans and everyone's kind of going, yeah, we could do that, but whatever. And someone needs to step up and basically push that, because generally speaking, people won't adopt those sorts of things on their own. And that, you know, adoption by force, if you want to call it that, then quickly turns into force majeure and tyranny and oppression and things, because, you know, there are more plans that are made. The person that, you know, by degrees, one person plans, the next person executes, and then that person plans, but like Hayek pointed out, says, yeah, but you know, I'm not mean enough, tyrannical, despotic enough to force these plans on the people. And the next guy comes along and says, I'll do it. And so it goes, which is again, why the lessons of history are essential. So Peter Lydon's articles, that 3-part series, Why California Politics is Always 15 Years Ahead. You know, the new California Democrat in America's new way forward. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour. Yeah. So the article series that I was thinking of, the Peter Lydon article series over at Medium, Peter Lydon, the founder and CEO of Reinvent, which tells you a lot, a media company, trying to reinvent the world. Anyway, Peter Lydon is part of a series of articles, State of the Future. California is the future. They want us to believe. California is the future. And so this is a series of articles, and I'll include these links in the today's archives. But the Reuters article, California City Fights Poverty with Guaranteed Income. And people don't understand, this is the UBI concept has been proven, I mean, almost 100 years ago, to essentially encourage people not to work. You know, idle hands are the devil's playground kind of thing. And so we already have these other problems. We already have poverty. We already have an opioid epidemic. I mentioned, well, on yesterday's National Intel Report, again, the article that Larry sent me from a few years ago, it was 2010, is one of those great articles that is still relevant today. The Oriental Review article, The Afghan War, No Blood for Opium, quote unquote. And so in this case, you know, the little image, the UN World Drug Report from 2008 shows the astonishing increase in the Afghan opium production that followed the U.S. invasion. And you tell people this and they say, what? No. Yes. Fact. The fact is the Taliban had essentially, you know, Mullah Muhammad Omar, you know, number two, bin Laden, you know, number two to bin Laden. He had essentially shut down single-handedly the opium production in Afghanistan. And the opium production in Afghanistan now dwarfs production around the world by orders of magnitude. And so on this graphic, again, it's the UN World Drug Report. It's the UN's numbers. Metric tons had dropped to nearly zero in 2001. You know, you have production that was sort of, it was fluctuating year to year from 1990 to 2000, and then suddenly it drops off to nearly nothing in 2001. Well, that's not going to work. And then there's an explosion back up to standard levels, you know, an explosion of between 3 and 4,000% in 2002. And it's, you know, been increasing ever since. And now, guess what? America has an opioid crisis too, don't we? Huh, wonder how that happened. So from the article, in the 1980s, the U.S. supported, and again, you know, spagging up a little bit, in the 1960s when the U.S. fought a secret war in Laos using the Hmong Opium Army in Vang Pao as its proxy, Southeast Asia produced 70% of the world's illicit opium. And these are illicit opium numbers, so I should maybe clarify that, but is there really a difference? After the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, and remember that history that I, you know, harp on constantly. What did Zbigniew Brzezinski admit? After the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, Afghanistan production controlled by U.S.-backed drug lords took off till it rivaled Southeast Asian production. Since 2002, Afghan opium production, encouraged by both the Taliban and U.S.-backed drug lords, has reached 93% of the world's illicit production. And again, this was 2010. Is it better since then? No. An unparalleled performance. The graph, you know, the graph on this page, UN World Drug Report 2008, shows the astonishing increase in the Afghan opium production that followed the U.S. invasion. So was it just a coincidence? Of course not. In the 1980s, the U.S. supported Islamic fundamentalists, the Mujahideen, against the Soviets in Afghanistan. Supported is a monumental understatement, but I digress. To pay for their war, the Mujahideen ordered peasants to grow opium as a revolutionary tax. Across the border in Pakistan, Afghan leaders and local syndicates under the protection of Pakistani intelligence operated hundreds of heroin labs. as the Golden Crescent in Southwest Asia eclipsed the Golden Triangle in Southeast Asia as the center of the heroin trade. It sent rates of addiction spiraling in Afghanistan, Iran, Pakistan, and the Soviet Union, and now beyond. To hide U.S. complicity in the drug trade, Drug Enforcement Agency, DEA officers were required to look away from the drug dealing intrigues of the U.S. allies and the support they received from Pakistan's Inter Service Intelligence, ISI, and the services of Pakistani banks. The CIA's mission was to destabilize the Soviet Union. You know, it's interesting. Like I said on the National Intel Report yesterday, as long as there's a CIA, there will never be peace, because this is what the CIA does. It destabilizes everything everywhere. It's that. It's like the old, you know, aphorism about the frog and the scorpion. The frog and the scorpion are on the edge of the water, got across. Scorpion, you know, I don't remember which is first, but I think the frog says, hey, why don't you hop on my back and we'll cross the river safely. And they get halfway across and the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog says, why did you do that? Now we're both going to drown. Now we're both going to die. And the scorpion says, I'm a scorpion. I sting things. It's what I do. So that's the CIA in a nutshell. So the CIA's mission was to destabilize the Soviet Union through the promotion of militant Islam inside the Central Asian republics. And they sacrificed the drug war to fight the Cold War. Yeah, right. Again, more destabilization, more chaos. Their mission was to do as much damage as possible to the Soviets. Knowing the drug war would hasten the collapse of the Soviet Union, the CIA facilitated the operation of anti-Soviet rebels. And it's interesting how deeply embedded in the CIA this interest in illicit drugs and drug trade has been from its inception. Isn't it? Isn't that interesting? Whether it's drugging unaware students on campus, or, you know, secret programs around the world, including across the northern border. And it's interesting. I mentioned James Cameron's latest deal, the science fiction series on AMC. And I swear to goodness, about 10 years ago, I started digging on James Cameron and any connection to Dr. Donald Ewan Cameron, speaking of the CIA and MK Ultra. And it's interesting, you know, I swear there was something to that, and then now I can't find it. So I don't know, a little anecdotal aside, but James Cameron seems to be very interested in psychedelic, futuristic, mind control sort of entertainment, if you know what I mean. But continuing, so their mission was to do as much damage as possible to the Soviets. Knowing the drug war would hasten the collapse of the Soviet Union, CIA facilitated the operation of anti-Soviet rebels in the provinces of Uzbekistan, Chechnya, and Georgia. Drugs were used to finance terrorism, and Western intelligence agencies used their control of drugs to influence political factions in Central Asia. And not just here. And not just then, because again, you know, what was happening in Southeast Asia a decade or two or more before, you know, was happening in other places. I mean, Muammar Gaddafi's Libya, he comes to power in 69. Same thing is happening there. You know, the West says, you're running drugs and guns. You're a bad guy. And Gaddafi says, actually, it's the CIA that, you know, showed up on our doorstep and said, hey, drugs and guns are profitable. What do you think? So it's the same story wherever you go. You know, Reagan's Nicaraguan Contras, the freedom fighters. It's the same story everywhere you go. It's ridiculous. So, again, as long as there's a CIA, there will never be peace or freedom or stability, you know, peace anywhere around the world. But skipping ahead in this article, which is a great article, again, this is 2010, but what has changed? We don't remember the lessons of history. They're important. As a result, 2001 was the worst. Okay, so I need to back up, actually. So the Soviet Army withdrew from Afghanistan in 1989, leaving a civil war between the U.S.-funded Mujahideen and the Soviet-supported government that raged until 1992. In the chaos that followed the Mujahideen victory, Afghanistan lapsed into a period of warlordism in which opium growing thrived. The Taliban emerged from the chaos, dedicated to removing the warlords and applying a strict interpretation of Sharia law. That gets back to Wahhabism, Salafism, Deobandism. They captured Kandahar in 1994 and expanded their control throughout Afghanistan, capturing Kabul in 1996 and declaring the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Under the policies of the Taliban, opium production in Afghanistan was curbed. In September 1999, the Taliban authorities issued a decree requiring all opium growers in Afghanistan to reduce output by one-third. A second decree was issued in July of 2000, which required farmers to completely stop opium cultivation. Ordering the ban on opium growing, Taliban leader Mullah Omar called the drug trade un-Islamic, quote-unquote. As a result, 2001 was the worst year for global opium production, specifically illicit. In the period between 1990 and 2007, the worst year, 2001, imagine. And what happened shortly after that decree? And, you know, anyway. Although, okay, so during the 1990s, global opium production averaged over 4,000 tons. In 2001, opium production fell to less than 200 tons. Although it was not admitted by the Howard government, which claimed the credit itself, Australia's 2001 heroin shortage was due to the Taliban. Following the attack, here's the punchline. Why are you saying this? Listen closely. Following the, because these are facts of history. Following the attack on the Pentagon and the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001, the armies of the Northern Alliance, led by U.S. Special Forces, supported by daisy cutters, cluster bombs, and bunker-busting missiles. And by the way, where are the violations of the international conventions in there? Never mind, don't worry about that. So the armies of the Northern Alliance, led by Special Forces, supported by daisy cutters, cluster bombs, and bunker-busting missiles, shattered the Taliban forces in Afghanistan. The opium ban was lifted, and with CIA-backed warlords back in control, Afghanistan again became the major producer of opium. Despite the official denials, Hillary Mann Leverett, a former U.S. National Security Council official, for Afghanistan, confirmed that he knew, that the U.S. knew that government ministers in Afghanistan, including the Minister of Defense in 2002, were involved in drug trafficking. Hillary Mann Leavitt, a former U.S. National Security Council official for Afghanistan, confirmed that the U.S. knew that government ministers in Afghanistan, including the Minister of Defense in 2002, were involved in drug trafficking. I think this, and this, you know, without getting too far into it, last week, who was the caller that we were talking about? Hamid Karzai, and I mentioned Ahmed Wali Karzai's brother. The article cites him. So just to finish that point, I suppose, after 2002, Afghan opium production rose to unheard of levels. By 2007, Afghanistan was producing enough heroin to supply the entire world, complements of, you know, NATO-led U.S. forces. In 2009, Thomas Schweich, who served as U.S. State Department coordinator for counter-narcotics and justice reform for Afghanistan, accused President Hamid Karzai of impeding the war on drugs. Schweich also accused the Pentagon of obstructing attempts to get military forces to assist and protect opium crop eradication drives. Schweich wrote in the New York Times that narco corruption went to the top of the Afghan government. He said Karzai was reluctant to move against big drug lords and his political power base in the South, where most of the country's opium and heroin was produced. The most prominent of these suspected drug lords was Ahmed Wali Karzai, the brother of President Hamid Karzai. So there you go. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Segment of the first hour of today's National Intel Report. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I mean, what's the point of talking about history that's already, you know, 10 to 20 years old? Well, the point is, you know, is it simply to collect fun facts for the next big game of conspiracy trivial pursuit? No. Again, history is essential to interpolate the present. Because our understanding of the past, or lack thereof in many cases, shapes our thoughts, beliefs, action in the present, which shapes the future in simple sorts of ways. You know, the conversations that maybe you have, like I have, when people ask, hey, Junior is thinking about enlisting in the military. What do you think? And it's, you know, I always want to say, it's like mom always said, if you have to ask the question, you already know the answer. You know what I'm going to say. and you already probably know the answer inside you. It's like mom said, you know, if you have to ask the question, you already know the answer. Probably not a good idea. And so, as I have said, you know, I haven't landed on what is effective to communicate to folks. Maybe this isn't a good idea. You know, why can't I simply say George Washington mentioned where did I see that quote? I should throw that quote in today's archives. George Washington talked about how every able-bodied man from 18 to 50 should be a part of the George Washington said that every able-bodied man should be a part of the militia. And the way he put it in his letter to Alexander Hamilton in 1783, it may be laid down as a primary position and the basis of our system that every citizen who enjoys the protection of a free government owes not only a portion of his property, but even his personal service to the defense of it. And consequently, that the citizens of America, with a few legal and official exceptions, from 18 to 50 years of age should be born on the militia rolls. The militia rolls. Provided with uniform arms and so far accustomed to the use of them that the total strength of the country might be called forth at a short notice on any very interesting emergency. That's George Washington, the first president under the Constitution. And when you say that, people go, were there more? Well, yeah. Listen to what Prince said when he was on with Tavis Smiley. I think it was the last interview that he had with Tavis. That's interesting. Anyway, I'll finish that thought and we'll move on. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.